Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. Welcome. Open your hearts to God's love this day. Praise be to God who has called us here. Let the words wash over you and offer you healing and hope. Praise be to God who continually blesses us. Place your hope and trust in God. With joyful hearts we come to worship and praise God who continually blesses and provides for us. Amen.
Tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the trials of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth and broad the honors of Thy name. He breaks the power of canceled sin, He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, His blood avail for me. He speaks and listening to His voice, new life the dead receive. The mournful broken not rejoice, the humble poor. Your God, ye fallen race, Lord, can be saved through faith alone, be justified by grace. See all your sins on Jesus laid, the Lamb of God was slain, His soul was once an offering made for every soul in pain. Glory to God and praise aloud, be ever, ever given by saints below and saints above, the church and earth. My great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
Let us join together now in our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead, He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the 40th chapter of Isaiah, verses 21 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy, and he spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name, because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. And I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. So dance, dance wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. I lead you all wherever you may be, and I lead you all in the dance at me. I danced for the scribe and the Pharisee. They would not dance and they would not follow me. And I danced for the fishermen, for James and John. They came to me and the dance went on. So dance, dance wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance at me. You all, wherever you may be, and I lead you all in the dance at me. I danced on the Sabbath when I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped me and they hung me high. And they left me there on a cross to die. Dance, dance, wherever you may be. Lord of the dance at me, and I lead you all wherever you may be, and I lead you all in the dance at me. I danced on a Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone, but I am the dance and I still go on. Dance wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance at me. And I lead you all wherever you may be. And I lead you all in the dance at me. down and I leapt up high. I am the life that'll never, never die. I live in you if you live in me. I am the Lord of the dance at heat. Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance at heat. And I lead you all wherever you may be. And I lead you all in the dance at heat.
If you have your Bibles this morning, join me as we read our scripture text from the first chapter of Mark, verses 29 through 37. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning, it was so tempting to start off with a mother-in-law joke, but I have several problems. First, I've been assured it would be in very poor taste. Second, it would be a horrible thing to make light of this woman who was reported to be sick. Third, I had a really good relationship with my mother-in-law, and I just don't want to dishonor that. Let's take a quick glance at the timeline here in the first chapter of Mark. John the Baptist came on the scene and pronounced the coming of the Messiah. Jesus comes and is baptized and received an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Next, Jesus spends 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. Jesus starts moving through Galilee, teaching the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. While he runs into Peter and Andrew, then James and John by the lake, and tells them, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "And I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. We often focus on that amazing moment of response. Wow, they left everything to follow Jesus. This small group heads off to Capernaum. But why Capernaum? We know it was a fishing village. It was about a half mile in length, a very long harbor. According to archaeology, it was not a big city, but maybe a few thousand people lived there in Jesus' day. It was on the edge of a major crossroad for trade. Fertile fields were nearby. The fishing industry was all connected here on the north edge of the lake. And the Romans placed a garrison outside of town, and they set up a tax office where a guy named Matthew worked. So Capernaum was an important trade center in Galilee. Capernaum was also the home of Simon, Andrew, James, and John. When the fishermen drop their nets that day, they are headed a few hundred yards, maybe a mile or two. They're headed home for the night or Sabbath. So after Jesus calls the fishermen, they are not going anywhere yet. They just went up the small hill to one of their homes. Seems that one set of brothers invites Jesus to stay over. It was the customary thing to do, and Jesus stays until the Sabbath, where we know from last week's scripture that he taught in the synagogue. From this point forward, Capernaum would be Jesus' home base for ministry, and his mother and brothers would also live there in that town at some point. Filling in the gaps in the scripture, Jesus and his new followers meet at the synagogue, and Jesus' teaching amazes the people. He casts out demons, which further impresses the witnesses. The service ends as our scripture this morning starts. It's still the Sabbath. Immediately after the teaching session, and Jesus and companions head off to Simon and Andrew's home to spend the afternoon in Sabbath rest. Basically, after church, they headed off to have lunch at about 12 o'clock. So it sounds sort of familiar, doesn't it? It seems that they were invited to Sabbath lunch, the meal that would have been prepared before sundown on Friday because no work was to be performed on the Sabbath. According to authorities in history, they only needed to travel around 100 yards from the synagogue to the home. There's a site that exists today that is thought to be the home of Simon and Andrew. The site has been identified since the time of the Emperor Constantine. It's been a church and a tourist site for centuries. Let's listen again to what happens at lunch. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, and he took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. They got to the house, and we find out that Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. We don't know how long she had been sick. Since this illness is mentioned, it might be that the situation was very serious. There were several different infections spread by water and by mosquitoes that often caused a high fever and a slow death. A couple of little details tell us something about the unnamed mother-in-law. First, she's probably a widow, and it's likely that she has no sons. It was the responsibility of the oldest son to take care of the parents in their senior years, so Mrs. Peter, also unnamed, was probably the oldest or the only daughter. The disciples have been around only with Jesus for a few days at this point. They've witnessed some new teaching and an interaction with a demon. They don't seem to ask Jesus to do anything, but they inform him of the situation, and that pops some questions into my mind. Are they suggesting that this might be a bad time to visit and for them to go somewhere else? Maybe they're warning him about the potentially dangerous illness in the house. Are they simply telling Jesus about the situation? Are they already bringing their situations and needs to Jesus? But Jesus, he responds to the need. He touches her hand and the fever leaves. He helps her to get up from the bed, and without any recovery time, without even a little snack to give her a boost of energy, she stands up and she starts attending to the guests. A simple, caring, personal touch from Jesus restores this lady to doing something that she probably loved to do. I know that many women are just like that. They like to take care of people. They don't want their guests to raise a finger. They make a fuss of you trying to help. Some are in our sanctuary this morning. I know that my mother-in-law was that way. I wonder how frustrated she felt knowing that they had guests over for lunch and she was stuck in bed and separated from the guests. I don't think that Jesus healed her so that he could be made a fuss over. He healed her because she had a need, and by healing her, he allowed her to do what she loved to do. I've been thinking about healing in this story, and I thought about how Jesus has touched me from time to time. I will suggest that most everyone here has been healed by the touch of Jesus. Many of us have been physically healed, and some have experienced a miraculous healing touch. Many of us have been healed emotionally and have had our lives put back into working order when we thought we would never survive. Jesus works and heals in all people's lives, whether they acknowledge him or not. But the most specific healing in a believer's life is that being healed from our sins and ultimately healed from the power of death. I wonder if we really understand that fact with enough awe. Are we really grateful for Jesus? Has our view of Jesus' touch in our lives become old news? Maybe the question should be connected more on how we respond to the touch, how we respond to the healing. Do we think that we have responded enough for this eternal act? Are we actively living our lives as Christians in a way that reflects our healing? Are we happy serving our Savior? Let's go back to the scripture. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. The Sabbath ends at sundown when the first three stars appear in the sky, and folks all around town, they show up at Simon's door looking for Jesus to get help. And Jesus responded by healing and casting out. Who knows how late he ministered that night? The scripture continues, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up and he left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Do any of you remember ever trying the free samples when they had those in the stores before the pandemic? Sam's Club used to do it a lot back in the frozen food section. They had these little grills and little ovens where they cooked up bulk pizza rolls and other specialty foods. They figured out that if you get to try different foods, you're more likely to purchase some to take home. They know that many people need a sample before they will respond and make a purchase. Okay, I have to admit something to you this morning. There have been times that I have taken a sample or two with no intention of making a purchase, no matter how good that food was. Jesus was not giving away free samples that day. He was responding to real needs. When he healed Simon's mother-in-law, he did not need or even want a big audience. He was responding to real needs. When the followers found Jesus the next morning, they say, "Everyone is looking for you." Why was everyone looking for Jesus? What was their motivation? Do you think that they wanted something from him? Or do you think that they wanted to offer a response like the mother-in-law? Did they want more free samples with no intention to make a purchase? The mother-in-law was saved, and her response was to stand up and to serve. Most of the people that are looking for Jesus that day just wanted to use him for their healing and for their salvation, and no intention of serving as a response. Folks, many people in this world are happy to take advantage of Jesus. Some call and visit churches when their needs are great enough, and often they find help and disappear as quickly as they appeared. They want the quick samples that Jesus offers through the church. They're not interested in hearing the good news or really anything more than temporary satisfaction. And they almost never want to respond in service to Jesus or anyone else. You know, that sounds negative, but it's not the response of the crowd that I worry about. As we read about Jesus healing thousands, we know that the majority never responded. That didn't stop him from dealing with many people's needs. The only people that he was upset with were the people that were considered religious. It was their attitude and response that upset Jesus. The question that's nagging at me today, are we responding to the touch of Jesus Christ on our lives in a proper way? Are we just asking for samples? Do we understand that we are saved to serve, saved to represent Christ in physical ways, ways that we actually will enjoy and find eternal satisfaction as a result? Folks, it's a time that we reevaluate our ongoing response to the touch of Jesus Christ. Are we looking for samples and thinking, what has Jesus done for me lately? Or do we really represent Christ? All glory be to God. In our closing hymn today, I encourage you to consider what you're called to respond. Maybe you've responded to Christ and his calling before, and maybe you're walking along the path with him as a disciple. Or maybe you've gotten lost and you need to find your way. I encourage you this morning to come to the altar. We have the altar open for you at any time. Come and consider how you respond this morning, if you need to, as we pray. Jesus, we are humbled that you consider us worthy to be used, worthy to be used in ways big and small, ways that we have no idea what you're going to use us for. But you're going to accomplish your will here on earth through us. Help us to respond without hesitation whenever we perceive your voice calling us into action. Change our hearts, Father. Change us so that we may be more like you. We pray these things in your powerful and equipping name, Jesus, as you taught your disciples to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
You were here before the thrills. Above all wonders the world has ever known. Above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.